In fact, you can't grow in spiritual maturity to where God wants you to be without the body of Christ. There's so many blessings and necessities that we need for our walk with God in the body of Christ. First of all, the church was created to glorify the Lord, to spread His glory to the face of the earth, to be the vehicle that takes the good news about Jesus Christ to the rest of the world. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. The kingdom of God is in us and comes near to those around us. Luke 10:9. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But thanks be to God who in Christ Jesus leads us in triumphant procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere." See, we are the church who share the gospel from person to person like a fragrance that you smell when you get when we come near to someone. But there is so much more. When we acknowledge our sin before God and we repent and we turn away from that old lifestyle of sin and we turn to Christ and we believe who He is, what He did on the cross and how He rose from the grave, we surrender our lives to Him. At that moment, He forgives our sin. He forgives our sin. He gives us eternal life and He comes to live in us and empower us. He adopts us as His children, as His tribe, into His family. He adopts us as His children into His family. We're no longer alone in this world. He is with you. The family of God is with you. We are all saved by grace through faith in Christ into the family of God. Every child is a part of God's universal family of God. Every child is a part of the local family of God. We see this throughout the entire testament we just talked about. We are members of one another. In local bodies, local families of God. We begin letting go of this world, this cultural idea of being disconnected, of being unattached, or being alone. No longer is that true. It's about joining the family of God, loving God's people, taking responsibility for your new eternal family. You see, God created us with a need for community, and the body of Christ is God's answer to fulfill that need. You know, just as a child needs a, in a healthy family, a child learns the essentials for living life. From a baby to a young adult, learning the essentials for living a new life. A child of God learns the essentials for following Christ and living God, living according to His ways as we gather with the body of Christ. We need each other. We need the fellowship with others who are examples of what it looks like to follow Christ. We need to see that face to face. We need to ask questions and find His answers. We need to learn from the teachings and discipleship of God's Word. We need to walk alongside of one another and through the struggles, the hard times, carrying each other's burdens. We need encouragement through timely words and in-person prayers. We need to be sharpened and challenged in our faith. We need accountability comes from gathering with the body, being around each other, watching one another, learning from one another. We need actually to work together in the body, which is sometimes a hard thing. As we serve together, people are different and they have different personalities. And so when we do that, we serve together, it actually helps us grow in our own character, helps us grow in holiness. It challenges us to be humble, to be gracious. Each of us needs to impact each other's spiritual gifts. We see that in Ephesians 4. Sunday service is where we should hear the Word of God preached. It's where we should worship our God together in song, learning how to praise our Father in heaven. It's where we pray together. But all we need for our spiritual growth can't begin in 1 hour of the week. If we're not involved in the disciples of the body of Christ, we're missing out on an important component of our spiritual growth. The best kind of discipleship happens in small groups of believers, such as like we just did in Sunday school, or Bible study, or small group discipleship. It's life on life, learning together, mentoring one another. Each of us has something to offer. And when we're not together, others are missing out, not just you. Others are missing out on your gift and your influence. We are as an orphan. We become malnourished and lack some of the necessities that benefit us. transformed our love for people and the benefits and blessings that come from the family of God changed our lives. We see this example in the love that Paul had for the church. In chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, Paul talks about the sacrifices he was willing to make on their behalf. He would send his right hand man, Timothy, and stay in Athens alone, all for the sake of their well-being. You see, Paul was on this journey with them. He didn't leave them alone. He was willing to make sacrifices on their behalf. That's the kind of love that comes from us. Are we willing to make sacrifices for each other? It's part of carrying each other's burdens, part of walking alongside one another, living life together. Church is about life on life, having real conversations about real life stuff. God designed the church as a community that meets together often for our spiritual growth and fullness. We need one. There's so much to say. When we think about this, are we, by our life, showing the world that there is no hope? Are we, by our lives, showing the world that there is no hope? Think about that. People should see our church and say, wow, God really does change people. How can this be? How can we be a part of that? How long will you have? I'm going to witness love for people the way we love each other. I'm going to witness a community of people like this. That's what they should say. The church should be a place of true and lasting hope. The hope of peace and a better future does not rest on the kingdoms of this world that it never has. It rests on the King himself, who created all things and established this world. He died and rose from the grave in order to free us from our sin, in order to break those chains of guilt and shame, to make people for himself. I love how he describes us in 1 Peter 2:9. Listen to what he says about you and I. God's children. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that he may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God called us out of the darkness of our sin, saved us through faith in Christ, and he has created a new family set apart for his work to proclaim his excellencies. We are family. On this journey, and we are not alone in suffering and trial. Next, we see our family encouraging each other through suffering and trial. Look there at verse 3 and 10. Then no one is moved by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are destined for this. For when we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction, just as it has come to pass, just as you know. For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted me and our labor would be in vain. But now the tempter has come to us from you. He has brought us the good news of your faith and love, and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you. For this reason, brothers, in all our distress and afflictions, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live if you are standing fast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God? Verse 10, as we pray for service in 90 days, we may see you face to face and supply them with life in your faith. Paul continues to show his concern for them. Just as he was facing afflictions and persecutions, they were as well. And he even reminds them, hey, do you remember how beforehand he told you about these afflictions that they would come? How do we include that aspect in following Christ, in our sharing of the gospel, the good news of Christ? You're going to be forgiven of all your sins. You're going to have eternal life. You're going to be empowered by God. All those things you're going to live in yet. Thank you. Because we live in a world and a culture that opposes God's truth and all that He desires to do in our lives. Therefore, we surrender our lives to Christ and we follow Him and His word. We are going to go against the majority of people around us. We're going against the popular kingdom. We're going against what everyone else is doing, and because of that, we face opposition and even affliction for the sake of Christ. He warns us about it. But since we're blessed because our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Christ, we have eternity in heaven as our future. It's important to know that you're not alone in facing affliction. Also, Paul wanted people to understand. In his love for the church, Paul was so concerned that he sent Timothy to make sure they were doing all right. We gather together to encourage one another in our struggles. He didn't want them to be alone in this battle. He reminded them how dangerous the battle was. I want you to take that one. Remember, we don't fight against the flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of God. Satan and his demons are at war with God and his children. Verse 12. He talked about the tender demon. See, this wasn't just physical afflictions, doing without something. This was a spiritual affliction, temptation to believe false doctrines, to give up and go back to our old lifestyle, to follow after the philosophies of this world and this culture, even idol worship. But the report that Timothy brings back was a good one. They were comforted to know that they were standing fast in the Lord, holding on to their faith in Christ in the midst of affliction and persecution, spiritual warfare. In the midst of great spiritual warfare, they stood together in this battle and they gained victory. I think we sometimes underestimate the power of temptations and subliminal messages that the world throws us every day. We underestimate. I think we neglect to be on our guard, as God commanded us in 1 Peter 5:8. Forgetting that we fight a spiritual battle, not a physical one. Forgetting the serious implications and consequences that come from walking according to the ways of the world, from falling into temptation and entertaining the desires of our flesh. We are family, and we need each other to stand strong against the enemy. We need all the spiritual blessings that we gain through the body of Christ. We need our spiritual maturity. We need this. Let me tell you how much we need this. We need our spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity helps us weather the storms of life, fight these spiritual battles. It helps us know how to help others in their struggles. It's why Paul sent Timothy to help them in the things they were lacking, things that could only be gained by Timothy's presence and giftings in the fellowship and community of the body of Christ. Didn't have to be there so that he could administer these things to them, teach them, model for them, encourage them, come alongside of them, give them a hug. Timothy needed to be there and help them. Help them grow in their spiritual maturity. Here's the truth, gives us wisdom to make right decisions, to know what God wants us to focus on, not be swept away by cultural way of life or the world's way. So we are family on this journey together. We are family encouraging us to each other through struggles and trials, and we are family praying for each other of a spiritual growth. At least as Paul prayed for a spiritual growth. Look at verses 10 to 13. As we pray most earnestly night and day, that we may see you face to face as the Father's lacking in his name. Now may our God, the Father himself, and the Lord Jesus, direct our way to you, and may the Lord make so that he may establish your hearts blameless and holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here again we see the love, his love and concern for the body of Christ. It drives us, it should drive us to pray for each other. Paul prayed earnestly for his brothers and sisters in Thessalonica, and they had been praying for him as well. From the report, he got that to Timothy. The word earnestly is about the intensity and focus of his prayers. It wasn't just a simple prayer attitude and prayer. It was like a persistent child who knows exactly what he wants from his parents. You know what that's like, right? A persistent child who knows exactly what he wants from his parents. encourage, teach, and invest in them. He wanted to spend that life of lifetime with them. Paul understood the nature of the church and the role that God intended for all of us. Verse 10, he wanted to supply the lacking in the faith. And he learned earlier, he took us out of our body of Christ, that we're going to give it to us by God. And there's great reason, there's great purpose for every single one of you being in this particular body at this particular time in history. That there's great purpose. First Corinthians 12:18 says this. But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. He blessed you. He gave you the spiritual gift that you have. Maybe you don't know what it is yet, but he gave you that spiritual gift. He has a purpose and a plan. You are adopted into God's family with great purpose. Not to sit on the sidelines and let everyone serve us. God saved in order to use you so that you could serve and invest in others. So that you would make an impact on lots of people. Not being in the beginning of the body doesn't just hurt you. It hurts others who need your investment, who need the benefits of your spiritual gift. Paul is concerned about spiritual maturity of the church, and we should be concerned about the spiritual maturity of this body. It's what helps us be a light in a dark world. That's where spiritual maturity helps us face our sin and know how to repent, accept God's grace, and move forward. It's so neat. We should be praying for the same thing. This is like Paul prayed two very important things as we finish up. Thank you. We should pray for each other today. We pray that we would. That they would increase and abound in love for one another, that God would establish their hearts and ranks in holiness and holiness before God. Remember, Jesus said, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. God directed their heart. These Thessalonian believers were doing well. They were loving each other. Timothy had brought back a good report about their love. I guess they could just check it off the list, right? You see, our love for each other should never stop growing. He talks here about love increasing and abounding. This speaks of a love that overflows from the person's heart. It comes out naturally because God has transformed the nature of our hearts. You allow Jesus to place in your spiritual maturity because then you are just love again. All we have to do is then turn to 1 Corinthians 13 and read about what this love is really about. Or better yet, just look at Jesus' example. How he loved us. How he loved you. And when he commanded us, love one another as I am. Follow my example. And then we will be convicted of errors that we need to grow. You see, if we grow in our relationship with the Lord, we'll continue to grow in our love for others. Practically, love reveals itself in action. We love each other enough to take time to listen. And that doesn't sound like a lot. But we have to take away or let go of our most precious resource, time. Time. We have to take time to stop what we're doing and listen to one another. We're able to swallow our pride, knowing that we all have struggles, and we're able to extend grace to those who have fallen or may have hurt us in some way. We look for ways to care for each other. We look for ways to share with each other. We encourage one another. True love shows that we value people and the relationships we share with. We're able to be selfless and service, just like all of you. This is one of the wonderful blessings that we receive from God and we give to the family of God. We are loved by each other. It's a wonderful thing. There's nothing like it anymore. When you pray for them to go home, it's all good about the constant pressure they have to conform to the world around them. Remember, they were in a godless city. It was unbelief. Everybody else was believing the opposite of what they believed. So they had this constant pressure to conform to the world around them. Think about that. But see, Paul also knew that the incredible witness they had by being in that city, the incredible light they would be to this dark world. He wasn't praying for them to be perfect. That's impossible in the sight of heaven. But he wanted them to live in such a way as to be blameless and holy before God. Our standard for following Christ is not how people are living their lives out there around us. Our standard is the Word of God. About people. This is what God gives us. This is the instruction. These are the terms of how he is to live and follow Christ. This is the same. It's based on His word. And this meant they had to deal with their sins God requires, with true repentance and obedience to His word. Receiving God's wonderful grace and living under His powerful leadership, the leadership of the Holy Spirit, so that they would be blameless and holy. See, in living according to God's standard, what else is going to happen? This blamelessness with their outside appearance. Their outside lifestyle. You see, we're all called to be blameless in this world, so that no one may have a reasonable charge against them. As 1 Peter 2:12 states, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that they may see, when they speak against you as evil doers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God in their estimation. See, God uses our transformed whole lives to reveal His glory to the world around us. And that's what will happen in your lives. They will be so different. They would be such a light to these people. They would see a father they've never seen. Lifestyle they've never seen. They would be set apart for God in their hearts and in their lifestyle. We are God's holy nation as we read earlier. And as a child of God, we'll be transformed by His power from one degree to another, says 2 Corinthians 3:18. Just one step at a time. You know how instantly we hold here, instantly we bring us. It says we follow Him, we walk with Him, He continues to transform our hearts and our minds and our lifestyle, our character, everything around us. We continue to grow in holiness. We're different because God of Holy Spirit lives in us. Now, I think there's a connection here between holiness and what Paul said at the beginning of verse 13, the return of the Lord. You see, daily, the daily thought of the Lord's return gives us greater desire to live a holy life before Him and before the Lord. What would we find? Not just our benefit, but the benefit of those who need to hear the life-saving message of Jesus Christ. Holiness and being blameless is not something we maintain in our own strength. We are totally dependent on God. Christ has broken the chains of slavery that we had in sin, and He's given us the power to overcome our flesh and live a life of victory. Overcoming Him, being growing in holiness, is such an important part of God's plan to present the gospel. Proof of His wonderful grace and His extraordinary power that He gives us. He does things in our lives that we cannot, in no possible way, can we do it. We need to make sure we're praying for each other. Pray for our love for each other grows. Pray for our brothers and sisters. Listen, take time to listen to what's going on in each other's lives. Pray that we can be holy before God, blameless in our witness. Pray that you continue to change your lifestyle and grow from spiritual maturity. These are things you should be praying daily for your child. The worship team comes. How would you describe your love for this body of Christ? How would you describe your love? The following would be a way. Have you gained a great understanding of the reason why God created this wonderful family? The purpose that He has for you in this family, the benefits, the blessings that you gain from gathering with the family, being part of fellowship and discipleship and worship.